following message is by Reverend Sandy Kareen at the Revival Center in Clovis, California.
All right. There were four preachers who were taking a short break from their heavy schedules. They went on a walk together, visiting, fellowshipping as people might do. They were on a park bench. They were catching up on an early spring day. "You know, since all of us are such good friends," said one, "this might be a good time to discuss the problems that we're having in life, the things that are disturbing us." They all nodded in agreement. "Yeah, that's going to be a good thing. Well, I would like to share with you the fact that, you know, I drink. Nobody knows it, but I drink. I drink a lot." There was a gasp from the other three men. Then another spoke up. "Well, since you are so honest, I'd like to say that my big problem is gambling. It's terrible. I can't quit. I'm even tempted to steal money to go gamble with it." Another gasp was heard. Is that a gasp or is that just breathing? Another clergyman spoke up, the third one. He said, "Man, I'm really troubled. I am really getting attracted to some women in my church. And, you know, I'm married, and these women are married. This is serious. I'm just, my eyes just wander. I'm in trouble." The fourth man, he was quiet the whole time. And the other three coaxed him, you know, encouraged him to share. He said, "Well, the fact is, I just don't know how to tell you about my problem." And they said, "It's all right, brother. You know how brethren will do." Encouraged him and told him it was okay, you know. "Your secret is safe with us." He said, "Well, it's this way. You see, my problem is I am in incurable gossip." Turn to Proverbs, I'm going to hurt you. Proverbs 6, we're going to read 16 to 19. "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and saving the worst for last," Scripture says, "he that sows discord among the brethren." Galatians 5, go there if you would. Sowing discord among the brethren is what God considers an abomination. Abomination is worse than hate. We'll get into that in a minute. I spoke to you earlier briefly about seducing spirits and how they're going to try to get you to do just silly, stupid things. Things that you would consider not major crimes, but you know that their underlying disunity creates havoc in the house of God. Galatians 5, 19 to 25. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Listen to what you just read. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not just asking you to be nice. I'm not asking you to just behave yourself. I'm telling you, if you violate this, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's big. Continues on. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Settling down on number 7 from Proverbs 6, he that soweth discord among the brethren, we find that those who sow discord among brethren are operating in the flesh. They're not operating in the Spirit. If you're operating in the Spirit, it is impossible for you to deny the things that have been spelled out in the bottom of Galatians 5, what we just read. When you're operating in the flesh, then you operate in the envyings and murdering and drunkenness, rebellion, all manner of things that want to destroy your life. And you think that you're in charge, but you're not. Because what you're doing is denying the kingdom of God to profit in your life. You're denying God to deposit the benefit and the blessing of the kingdom of God in your life. You will do the wrong things and have the wrong outcome. You'll walk around confused and conflicted almost continually, simply because you are not walking in the kingdom of God on this earth. And you wonder what that is. When Scripture says we will not inherit the kingdom of God, you have to ask yourself, exactly what is that? It is to walk out God's kingdom here on the earth, the abundance of it, the salvation of it, the good news of it. There is no horror there. There is sorrow for a time, but joy will always come in the morning. The people who are walking out the kingdom of God are the people who can lay hold on a scripture and say, it is true for me. I will stand in the middle of the dark on a windy, cold night and will not move and declare it is true because I am walking in the kingdom of God and therefore I shall inherit the blessings of it. It is not pride. It is an advance in spiritual warfare that you have already won because you've decided you will walk as one who abides in the kingdom of God and therefore inherit it. Now, the kingdom of heaven is different than the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is just what it sounds like. Heaven. Things are happening up there. You don't get to know, and neither do I. Heaven. This is a kingdom of God which is here on this earth. This is the favor of God, the abundance of God, the goodness of God, the blessed relationships of God. Everything right that you can stand before God Almighty because the word says to come boldly before the throne of God in a time of help. Those are the people who have inherited the kingdom of God. The people who cannot come boldly have not inherited the kingdom of God. And why have they not inherited the kingdom of God? We just read it. For many reasons that are against the Spirit of God in Galatians 5. But God hates these things in Proverbs 6. And 7 is an abomination to sow discord among brethren. And that's what I'm talking to you about today. It's a new year. We're not going to a new place. Buddy, we're plowing this field. It's a good field. And we are going to keep plowing these rows straighter and deeper and righter. It's a good field. To inherit the kingdom of God means you cannot sow discord among the brethren. If you want God to lead you out of his blessings, then ignore what I'm saying. Just do whatever you want to do. But when you do not inherit the kingdom of God, it is saying that God hates what you're doing. It's an abomination to him. Churches have this problem. Buddy, we will not have this problem. And we don't have this problem. Church is growing. Things are happening where other churches around the world are being created because you're giving to that. It's beautiful. They listen to these things online and on TV, and they're taught by these things. It's across the planet. It is the same. You sow discord. God is against you. And not for you. You're left out of the blessings of God on this earth. You will have a life full of drama and discord. You'll be living paycheck to paycheck with no blessing, with no future, no abundance or favor in your mind at all. When you are not inheriting the kingdom of God, it is a life that has no fear of the Lord, no respect of holy things. Gossipers do not have a fear of the Lord. If you are a gossiper, you have not had the fear of the Lord and you need to repent. If you listen to a gossiper, you're in a lot of trouble. You are in harm's way. You have put yourself in harm's way because that person wants to sow discord among the brethren and they can't do it alone. They need help. When somebody comes to you and has a bad thing to say, you better turn into a narc real fast. You better call somebody bigger than you and say, you know what, I'm telling on you. And you'd better do it. That's how the environment of God stays safe. We all value the same thing and we protect it. We protect it. To say, I am not comfortable hearing that. And I think we need to get somebody in here to talk to you because of what you just said. And I've done that, and I can promise you they don't do it again, at least not around you, because it hurts. It hurts. We'll not have the devil thinking that he is safe in here. Amen? The devil is not safe in your life. He is not safe in this church. He is not safe in your family. And when you allow him to speak and have a voice that you do not come at and say no and lay him down low, you're giving him a safe place. And when you give the devil a safe place, God says, that's an abomination to me, which is worse than hate. If you see something bad happening and you do nothing, you might as well have been the one to create the problem. And you know that's true. When people operate in such a way that they cannot inherit the kingdom of God, they open doors in their life, all manner of doors, wrong doors, bad doors. The marriage can't be happy. The children can't be happy. They're not happy in their jobs. They can't be blessed. They can't be a witness. They have temptation around every corner. You know, someone who's constantly tempted by this world, you should find out what they talk about. I will promise you there's not integrity in their voice. Because they've opened a door to the enemy to come in and destroy them. You're saying, devil, I want you to take my future away from me. I invite you to do it. I want you to get my kids, even the kids I don't have yet. Make them be all mental and weird. Cause my children to just go off the deep end and have no love. I'm not talking about handicapped. That's different. There's a lot of beautiful handicapped children. I'm talking about a child who is mean and angry and ornery for no apparent reason. It's because somebody opened a door over them and they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. No matter how they try, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God ever. Because no one's protecting them. No one's watching the gate. No one's looking down the road. We have to have those rules in our family, in our lives, in our homes, so that we can inherit the kingdom of God. We know what hate is. You know, I don't like it. I hate it. It's not good. It's not good. But when you gossip and you sow discord among the brethren, you are giving Satan permission to come and destroy what you hold dear. And he likes to do that because supposedly what we hold dear is what God holds dear. And we give the enemy permission to come in and tear that up. We give him permission to hurt the Lord. When you do and when I do what God hates, the reward for that shows up in our lives. Embracing or engaging what God hates removes the blessing, and it actually applies a curse. There is a blessing and there is a curse. Hey, guess what? There's not in between. If you're not blessed, you don't get to be a zero. You're cursed. Nobody did it to you. No one prayed some stupid prayer. Those words can't stick. Give me a break. You do it to yourself, now something's happening to you. Right? You cannot judge what you are supposed to do by what anybody else is doing. You've got to follow Scripture because you know the truth. You've been taught the truth in here. Sowing discord among the brethren is an abomination to the Lord. I'm going to tell you what an abomination is to help you out. something that is immoral and unethical. I'm yelling, but I can't help it. It's that kind of a sermon. Immoral, unethical. God considers it this. He considers it disgusting in every way. Disgusting. I know some of you like okra, okay? You're in your own planet. But the thing about okra is people who don't like it really don't like it. And the people that like it, they, if it's cooked right, they love it. And maybe a couple of them, they're like super from Oklahoma, they don't care. But raise your hand if you cannot stand okra. I can't. Is it not disgusting? Yeah, disgusting. So this, like what Jesus is feeling when we do these abominable things and sow discord, it's like you're making them eat okra, right? And he's saying, disgusting. And you guys that love okra, I cannot help you. You'll have to figure another word picture out for yourself for later. When we sow discord among the brethren, it is disgusting in every way. And furthermore, God himself considers it devil worship. Now you just jumped off the edge, didn't you? He considers it devil worship. When you gossip and create trouble between people, God considers this the most unholy offense. It is the same as if you just went and worshiped Satan. This word is used to describe someone who's worshiping idols. It's disgusting to God, and he counts it as idol worship, satanic worship. When someone lives life as a talebearer or a gossiper and they become empowered by the fact that they are able to move people's emotions and change people's paths, they become empowered in the ugliness that is this thing. A sickening pride takes over and will mask itself in false humility. Now, sometimes people say things like, you know, I think we've all done it. I have to vent. You know, that's why we don't take prayer requests at prayer meeting. Are you aware of that? Because I don't want, that's how against this we are. I do not want even the possibility of a moment for someone to gossip. Not even the possibility. The church I grew up, it was an awesome church, but there was one lady, there's always that one cranky lady, you know. She was cranky. She was a sergeant in the army. She was a school teacher. She was just that lady. And somebody came and said, pray for, was at a prayer meeting, pray for my husband. He has lung cancer. Well, everyone knew that he was a smoker. Jack was a smoker. So what did she say? Well, if he'd quit smoking, maybe God would heal him. If he quit smoking, maybe he wouldn't get sick. I'm not going to pray against that. That's God's judgment, she said, because he smokes. He deserves that. Man, I was like, I think I was 16 years old. And I determined in my heart that prayer requests are wicked in that moment. Even the most godly thing can be turned evil when your root is wicked and evil. And she was an angry, angry woman. It is said that in 1 week, the tongue speaks enough to fill a 500-page book. The tongue can bless, the tongue can curse. It can praise or slander, it can encourage or poison. The word says in Mark 3:25, if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. That's why it's important not to have this kind of division. James 3:6 says, the tongue is a fire, world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. I want you to listen to what I'm going to tell you. We cannot be any closer to God than we are to the person we love the least. We cannot be any closer to God than we are to the person that we love the least. The person you love the least, that is your relationship with God. That is as far as you can go toward God. They don't deserve your affection. I know, I'm agreeing with you. They don't deserve it. But you don't deserve God's affection. And neither do I. Maybe you don't have to be their best friend and take them to lunch every week, but you have to have that love for them, no matter what they've done to you. You must. Because you don't know when God's going to try to reconcile something so that they, too, can walk in the kingdom of God and inherit that. The early church turned their city upside down with unity. I'm going to read you a familiar verse out of Acts. We're going to read 1 through 4 of Acts 2. If you could turn there and I'll be done with you. How do we accomplish a continual living in the Spirit? How do we set a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit? How do we be sure that we are inheriting the kingdom of God? By daily operating in the fruit of the Spirit. You've got to make yourself a list if you're that forgetful. You have got to be daily operating. It was a woman who did terrible things, some of the worst things a person could do to another person. And, I said, I forgive you, or that's all right. And I met with her, I counseled her, I did what I could do, and I meant it. And a Christian found out that I was doing this. They hit the fan. They lost their mind because I was being kind to this person who had done this. I said, but if I have Jesus and I'm inheriting the kingdom of God, then I have enough left over. I can't wage my life based on what somebody did or did not do to me. No, they don't deserve any goodness. I don't talk to them much about things anymore. And I didn't tell them I was ministering to this person. This person did. They were grateful, What is that in a person who would be so mad that somebody who needs forgiveness would get it? That's bad math. What's in a person that would desire someone to not have any benefit of the kingdom of God because they hurt you? Well, who are you? You're nothing. Same as me. Nothing. Dirt. The only thing that makes us good is the Spirit of the living God. And it all falls apart when we quit behaving like we have the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is unity. Day of Pentecost, there was a party going on. There were other things to be done, but they were in unity, waiting for the Lord. We have to be in harmony to accomplish a vision. Our vision here is to empower the saved and save the lost as we pray revival across the land. There's no games going on in here. What you don't know, the Holy Spirit will teach you. Of that I am sure. I am very sure of that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We've read this out of Galatians 5:22 and 23. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no law. I would like you to write that down somewhere, somehow. I'd like you to read it every day. I'd like you to practice it in every situation. Am I behaving in the fruit of the Spirit? Psalm 34 says for us to keep our tongues from evil and our lips from telling lies. If we're busy operating in the fruit of the Spirit, that's very easy. If we're not operating in this fruit of the Spirit, that becomes very hard. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, the Bible says. But I'm going to explain something to you. People concentrate on what blessings they can proclaim or what damage they can speak to the enemy's camp. But Proverbs 18 is speaking of something different. Proverbs 18 is speaking about whether you will inherit the kingdom of God or not on this earth. What you speak, are you coming in line with the fruit of the Spirit or are you a gossiper? It's not saying my life will have this and my life will have that. Those are words, buddy. Those are words. I'm sorry, Mr. Cap and everybody else that puts all this pressure on your words. Your words matter as you yield and give them to God. And likewise, they matter as you yield and give them to Satan. So when you start behaving like someone who does not have the fruit of the Spirit, and you forbid yourself to inherit the kingdom of God by your words, by gossiping, by being a talebearer, by using your words, you have cursed your life. That's what Scripture's talking about. Life and death are in the tongue. Cursing or blessings. It's not talking about, I bless you. It isn't about that. It's about my behavior is going to bless my life or curse my life. What I say is going to bless my life or curse my life. According to the measure that I inherit the kingdom of God on the earth. Understood? The book of James tells us that the tongue is an unruly evil. And that cannot be tamed. This is why we need to be operating in the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost, he's a tongue tamer. And I think that's why the Lord made it this way. You know, the manifestation of the Spirit could be anything. Your eyes could shoot out blood, your hair could fall out, your hands would turn green. I mean, any weird thing could happen. But no, he said, I'm going to take the tongue. And for once in its life, it's going to do what I tell it in the Spirit. That's how powerful that is. To help you correct behaviors, I have this little exercise for you. So I'd like you to write this down. And this year, I want you to practice walking in unity. I want you to practice not doing the thing that God calls an abomination. I want you to practice inheriting the kingdom of God by living correctly, and your words will reflect that. It is the think exercise. So on your paper, write T, and under that H, and under that I, you get it. Under that N, and then we're going to have a K. Think. These are the things you need to do when you begin to speak to somebody. Or you begin to listen to somebody. You need to think. Just stop and think a minute. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? Don't hold people hostage with stories that have no point because you're tempting them to think something bad about you. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? And is it necessary? Is this information necessary that I know it and that I speak it? And K, is it kind? If this is not a kind thing I'm about to say, I probably shouldn't say it. If it's not a kind thing that I'm hearing, I shouldn't allow myself to hear it. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Finally, brethren, would you stand? Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, Whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Lovely things are delightful, they're agreeable, and they create and evoke unity. I'm going to give you homework this week. I want you to read the book of James every day. Such a tiny book. It will not hurt you. Read it every day. Read it as much as you can, as much as you want. And next week, you're going to find that things are made very clear and you are changed. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you for this people, Lord. God, what an army you have built. How wonderful it must be, Lord, for you. How wonderful it must be for you to watch these, Lord. Embrace your heart. They never run from you, Lord. They do not run from your hand. Thank you, Father, for that. We give ourselves as a living sacrifice to you, Lord, and we ask you to be honored and blessed by it, Father. Keep us in your spirit as we endeavor to inherit the kingdom of God. That you would be blessed, Father, because you're a blessing God and you love to bless us. May we be changed and transformed, Lord, by the renewing of our mind as we read scripture and as we, Lord, ponder you, for you are good. Those of us, Lord, who have been bit by this bug, sowing discord, Lord, we repent of it. We ask you to forgive us. And may this year be the year that we begin to inherit the kingdom of God like we never have before. May our hearts be light and our spirits right as we walk with you, Lord. May there be only good, Father, that is to be said between us. Cause us to be ready, Lord, to walk the way you've called us to walk. In the name of Jesus, amen.
This message has been by Reverend Sandy Kareen of the Revival Center in Clovis, California. For more information about this ministry, visit our website at www.therevivalcenter.info.